music tonight.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the North American Wrestling Connection. My name is Robert Q. Seidelman, and according to Typho, I am the sexiest man alive.
There we go. Absolutely. That was about the biggest sucker's bet you made, and boy, do I feel sorry for you, Typho.
Hey, I believed in the gold standard.
Well, it turns out the gold standard was fool's gold after all. Let's meet our panelists, ladies and gentlemen. First of all, we have the effervescent VRM.
I'm going to a Warhammer tournament tomorrow. I'm going to get my ass kicked like hell.
And then we have America's sweetheart, Jason Block.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here, and... You guys ever watch game shows? Anybody?
I do a little bit.
I'm raised on them.
Yeah.
Well, then again, by the way, if you want to see more of Jason Buck, all you have to do is just go to GameshowNewsNet.com, where
you
partake, and we love to interrupt.
Yes, and also recaps Wheel of Fortune, which started its 26th season this week.
26th season, not 25th.
I said 26th. I did not.
No, you said 25th.
Whatever. You're the host. You know everything. So that's
yeah. I don't know everything. If I knew everything, you ought to have been on Jeopardy. I would have kicked Ken Jennings' ass. Anyways, moving on. Then we have Fine Young Egg and our resident champion in fourth.
Hey, it's great to be back.
And then we have the always traveling and always welcome Nikki Heyman.
And my apologies for my tardiness. I just came back in from Reynoldsburg.
And then finally, the person who made the biggest mistake of all time by making that bet, the ugliest man alive, Typho.
What you're seeing is the birth of a big-time feud. I'm challenging Shelton Benjamin at WrestleMania 25.
We're going to straighten things out. In all seriousness, though, let's just hope Houston is there when WrestleMania 25 is coming back. If you've watched the weather reports, Houston is about to get bitch slapped by Ike. So to any Texas listeners out there, be safe, get the hell out, and, you know, listen to us on the archives. Just go home. You know, get out.
So this
beware of... Just go up north to Oklahoma, you'll be fine.
There's
nothing fine about Oklahoma.
Keep going west.
Yeah, just.
I would say Kansas, but you'd have to deal with Blade Braxton.
No, but seriously, I just watched the weather report. The storm is 600 miles wide.
Oof.
Okay.
Fuck.
No joke, okay? So, guys, get home. But another storm that actually hit us this week was the pay-per-view of Unforgiven, right, Bob?
Nearing the pay-per-view of...
Was it 3 weeks after...
SummerSlam, yeah.
Yeah.
So, let's recap it, shall we? I'm going to go in the order of the way that we did the pick-ems, which is out of pay-per-view order, but it's still the same. We start off with the Raw tag match, which saw the debut of, Nikki, who debuted?
Well, I know him more as Afa Anoa'i Jr., the son of Wild Samoan Afa, which I believe they explained on Raw the following night. But he was introduced later on as Manu, the son of Asa, and a new member to Gen 2.
Priceless!
You know what, though? It's going to be very interesting to see how they work this second-gen match. And now the whole second-generation sort of thing with Randy Orton as sort of the...
Mentor-slash-coach of the group until Survivor Series.
Mentor-coach-slash, you know...
Figurehead.
Yeah, figurehead, all that sort of stuff. The match itself was okay. I thought Cody Rhodes and I believe, who is the bigger one of the two, JTG or Shad? Or,
no, that's Shad.
I think one of them really wrestled really well. One of them wrestled okay. I thought DiBiase mailed it in, to be honest. And it was great. It was okay. It wasn't, you know, that good. I believe Crime Time lost.
Right.
You know, it was okay.
As duly noted on my card, everybody but VRM got that one right.
That's a big finger towards Crime Time right now.
That's because they aren't priceless.
Yeah.
I think they're busy going to be starting up a feud with Morrison and Miz. And the Epic Fail belt was next.
Oh, you mean Michelle McTaker versus Maurice?
For the pretty princess belt?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was an absolutely brutally awful match. I'm sorry, you know.
Thankfully short.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll just fast
forward through this.
Michelle McCool was fine. I thought that Maurice she can't work yet. She's very green.
She needs to go back to commercial bumpers.
Pretty much.
She needs to go back to her daddy, Carl Ouellette, and learn how to wrestle.
Really? That's her dad?
Yep.
You mean as in Pierre's brother?
He was...
Who was Carl Ouellette? Anybody?
Pierre from the Quebecers.
Right.
Jean-Pierre Lafitte.
Yeah, but who's Carl?
That's his real name.
Oh, okay. Wow. That's his daughter? Wow. All right. What do you know? Learn something.
Everybody got that one right. And unfortunately for Jason, those are the only two that he got right.
Oh, boo. Oh, well. I mean the whole pay-per-view was screwed, but we'll get to that later.
Oh, yeah. Then we get to Michael's Red 2J, admittedly, match of the night. Was everything that we expected? Yeah. It was everything that we expected and more, and ended with a Ring of Honor finish, believe it or not. And for those who don't know what I'm talking about, it's like a Bryan Danielson finish. Whether he's not making you tap out to the cattle mutilation, he's causing referee stoppage by making you bleed to death because of his stiff elbows.
And I will also say this much. Again, Michael's facials told the story in this match. It was, you know, the idea of what has he done to his inner soul? That was just so brilliantly done.
I give him props for that, but something just doesn't make sense to me. How do you get a ref stoppage in an unsanctioned match? It just doesn't make any sense to me.
Ask the same person who can let a double count-out happen in a lumberjack match. UWF reference.
Well, put it to you this way. It's the same reasoning why Chris Jericho gets beat to an inch of his life and then something happens later on in the pay-per-view, which we'll go on to.
Yeah.
Which didn't make sense to me.
Then again, it's the WWE.
Yeah.
It's kind of like making,
well,
you know,
no,
continuity doesn't exist.
No, that's not necessarily true because the WWE makes more sense than TNA does any day of the year.
Oh. We'll get to TNA later on the show.
That'll last us the entire archive. Let's go on with the pay-per-view.
Yeah. No, we're going to talk about something about TNA. It's with the live show, and it has to deal with what just happened. Then we get to the ECW Scramble.
Best booked match of the card.
Yeah. It was a well thought out scramble. It was a pretty good scramble.
It was the best of the three. Yes. If you're going to say that the SmackDown or the Raw scramble was better, you're smoking something. Sorry. Because
I don't know. Well, I give the WWE one a very, very close second on its timing.
No, I wouldn't. I don't.
Why not? You've got a perfectly timed finish. You have a perfectly timed finish. Even if you don't like who won, it was well built.
No, and I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why.
Well, let's do the ECW one.
Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry.
On that one, Chavo Guerrero Jr. got the first fall, so I got the point for that one. But then, 3 minutes left, Matt Hardy gets the fall. He gets the belt, and he holds on to it for the rest of the way, making Matt Hardy the new ECW champion.
Which was awesome, and again, if you watch the way that was booked, the way he was throwing people out, doing stuff like that, that was the perfect way to do the scramble matches.
Yes.
Perfect way.
And then we go to the... We're going to skip the order a little bit. We're going to jump to the SmackDown one. Hold on. I got to pull it up. I got to go to Online World of Wrestling because I...
What? Who got the... I believe the first fall... Who did it go to?
Jeff.
Yeah, it went to Jeff Hardy.
Yeah, it was Jeff Hardy.
Yeah, it went to Jeff Hardy. Let's see here. Nikki and... No, fourth got that one. No, wait.
I got it wrong.
SmackDown Scramble, who got... Hardy got Kendrick first. Jeff Hardy and Shelton Benjamin started the match.
Right, and this is what bothered me about the scramble. There were two things that bothered me big time. Who did Brian Kendrick piss off to be the prison bitch of that match? Okay.
The fact that he is the lowest ranking overall out of them, and the fact that this is his test match, and they weren't expecting to do a whole lot with him to begin with.
And number two, Triple H, in his usual way, and believe me, I'm hearing a lot of rumors that him and Undertaker are about to butt heads on SmackDown. He comes in last, becomes the White Knight, works 4 minutes, and does his job. I'm sorry. That's bullshit. Absolute fucking bullshit.
It's also called tenure, but I happen to be a Triple H fan.
I'm a Triple H fan, too, but at least I want him to do some work for it.
Mm.
Yeah, that was really,
I don't see the problem, but okay.
Respectfully.
The problem is that probably barely worked.
Yeah.
That's the whole problem.
Nikki and Forf got a point out of that one. I think both of them had Triple H winning.
So Kendrick became the second greatest person to hold the title, but the reign doesn't count. Right behind DiBiase.
Let's just go to the Raw title match.
Oh, God.
Now.
Okay, first of all, we need to back up about, an hour. A little more. We had the backstage segment. CM Punk was having some interview time. Orton interrupts, and they continue the argument from Raw. Team Priceless shows up. Beats the Living Dog Snot out of them. And then Randy Orton does his best Jeff Fiegel's imitation and puns Punk.
To the point where he is unable to compete in the Raw Scramble match, which again was a load of booking BS, because he wasn't hurt, and this is the worst booking of a champion since Rey Mysterio. Sorry. Okay? This is horrible. And
I gotta agree with Jason on this. The booking so far is the worst.
I'm not seeing that either.
Mainly because...
I don't think anybody could have seen this happen.
No, I don't agree with it, but
unless you're Bruce
it's
Pritchard,
my understanding that this is part of a bigger picture, and we need to see where it goes. This is just the start of something.
It's not
the burial of CM Punk, so don't even say it.
I'm not saying it's the burial of CM Punk. I just don't like the way it was done.
No, I agree. I don't think there's 100 ways to do this better, but Punk's not in trouble, and Punk's not hurt, so we need to wait and see what shakes out.
Especially because next week on Raw, Chris Jericho will be facing CM Punk. What happened was when CM Punk was supposed to come out, Y2J comes out, takes about a minute and a half to get to the ring, and gets speared.
By Batista, by Big Dave, yeah.
Yeah. Batista then pins Kane to win the title. And then, while Batista, JBL, and Rey Mysterio are having a little argument outside, Chris Jericho crawls and crawls and crawls, comes onto Kane, 1, 2, 3, ding, ding, ding. Time expires, and your new champion, Chris Jericho.
Now, this is not an epic fail by any stretch of the imagination.
No, I didn't give it the epic fail.
Okay. Because, first of all, number one, Chris Jericho's work over the last 4 months...
deserved it.
Deserves this belt. Okay?
Yes.
He does. Okay?
Yeah.
He is the best heel right now in WWE.
Mm.
Not... okay. Edge is gone, rehabbing his knee, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But Jericho's expressions, Jericho's promos have been classic on the stuff. Was it the worst thing to have done to him? No. Did CM Punk get screwed a little bit? Yeah. But it makes the fact that he is a douchebag dick champion, and I'm liking that part of the scramble, so to speak.
Right.
Yeah, I have to agree with the douchebag dick champion part, but just the way they gave it to him, and the fact that even though there were like all Batista did afterwards, like I'm not saying I was rooting for Batista because I wasn't, but the way Batista reacted, he just puts his hand on his head like, wait, what the fuck? He's like, he doesn't even do anything. I know there's only 2 seconds left by the time the buzzer rang and they said Jericho was a champion, but still, at least make an attempt.
The attempt would have been useless. It took at 2 seconds, he realizes what happened. So at 1 second, he would have been charging towards somebody. You got to remember, Dave's slow. It's going to take him. It's going to take probably a second and a half for just to register what he's got to do to fix it.
Okay. Sorry, just setting up for something a little bit later. Actually, next, when we talk a little bit about... I'm not sure. Do I want to talk about Raw? Yeah, we'll talk about Raw first. We'll recap Raw, then we'll get to the other stuff. Scores. VRM and Jason tied for last. Isn't that odd? Two New York teams are last. That never happens.
That's not nice.
No, I mean,
unless you're the Knicks and Nets.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. If you're the Knicks and Knicks, you probably deserve to have an empty arena. No, if you're the Knicks, you deserve to have an empty arena.
Go on.
That
damn
dumb fuck, Isaiah Thomas. Typho got 3.
Yay.
Nikki and the Sexiest Man Alive got 4. And that means... your winner, and still, NAWC Fizzleweight Champion, 4th.
With how many points?
4th got a fiver.
Wow.
Yep.
Well, that's impressive. That's impressive.
But glory is short-lived, and we have a caller. Caller, hello.
Hey, it's Trista.
Hey.
Yay!
Hey.
That's right. Trista's arrival is an automatic win.
Oh, crap. I forgot to set up the chat room. Oh. Oh, well.
Hi, Trissa.
Hey, Nikki. I was, like, listening to you guys, and I don't know, it just kind of sounded like you're getting, like, ganged up on, so I thought I'd call in.
No. Believe, Nikki and I, we're way cool. This is called a respectful disagreement. No disrespect meant towards Nikki in any stretch. I just think that...
And right now I'm unarmed.
I'm about 800 miles away, so I'm really safe. So it's all good. It's all good. How you doing, Trista?
I'm totally sick right now. I don't know if you can tell or not. But
yeah, I can hear it.
I couldn't tell if you were sick or sad. Is it a sick and sad world there?
Yeah, actually, this week's totally been balls, but I'm getting better, and everything else is working out better, so.
So are you going to the pay-per-view on Sunday?
No, are you kidding? Not at all.
Ooh.
Wow, okay. So
I think you could go beat up Shane Matthews for me.
I don't watch TNA that much. Watched it last night, but that's just because I was too lazy to get up from the couch. So.
You know what? I feel sorry for you. So that's what made you sick. Was that it, pretty much?
Yeah.
No. I've had a lot of personal shit going on lately, so it's just kind of all added up. And
okay.
Well,
let's do the Raw recap. I think everybody watched Raw.
I had no choice. I was there.
I think it was there. I don't
and
think
I have pictures
to
prove it.
Yeah, pictures to prove it. I don't think we got you on camera or anything like that.
Not at Raw, but if you watch carefully during during the tag match, you can see me explaining Asa to the people sitting next to me. Because I was like, holy crap. At first, all I see is this afro coming down the aisle. I'm like, why the hell is Ricky Ortiz coming to the ring now?
He wanted to pass out some rally towels.
Well, yeah. I noticed that he didn't have any rally towels and he didn't have any abs, so he had to be Samoan.
Yeah. So
and then I said, holy crap, it's Afa, and it makes sense.
Mm-hmm. So let's get Raw on the road. We have Jake Hager defeating D'Lo Brown. Now, I will tell everybody, Jake Hager used his real name on Raw, but he got a different name on ECW.
The All-American American Jack Swagger, I believe?
Isn't that the best wrestling name you've heard in years?
It's awesome.
Not really, but okay.
No. There's some other good wrestling names like a Jack Boot.
Or Anthony Bravado.
Or Sergeant Buddy Lee Parker. Moving on.
Just incredible.
Yeah.
Oh,
yay!
There you go.
Yay!
There you go. Good one, Typo. We start in the ring with Save Me in the ring, a.k.a. Chris
yay.
Jericho.
Yay.
He addresses the match with Shawn Michaels, showing off his scars that a good person, quote-unquote, inflicted on him.
There was
he did slug his wife. Of course he's going to be angry.
Well, it's
what's
a former Nitro girl.
Girlfriend?
And those bruises, I don't know how many were makeup jobs and how many were real, but those were some nasty bruises.
Oh, they were
I've
real.
I've had bruises that look like that. I'm convinced they're real because I can get banged up like pretty bad. You can take that any way you want. But I'm pretty sure the bruises are real. I bruised like a peach. I've had a couple that have looked like those, so I'm going to convince myself that they're real. And if not, awesome makeup job. Two thumbs up.
Jericho then said the fans would be forced to recognize just how good he is now. He said that good things happen to good people, and he is a good person.
Which
he said that
with that sick smile on his face, which I loved. I want to slap him, and I love, you know.
No. Then Adam Lee came out and explained that CM Punk had a concussion last night, was not medically cleared to compete. Adam Lee said Jericho answered the call, but the fact is Punk lost the title without having a chance to defend it. Okay. Adam Lee said next week on Raw, CM Punk will get his chance to get back the title in a 15-foot-high steel cage.
Yay.
Jericho said he'd be confident to defeat Punk next week and was perfectly happy to take the rest of the night off. Batista enters code ABABABAC to get a match tonight. However, since he messed up his own code, it's a non-title match.
What an idiot. What a maroon.
Did he forget to hit select?
No. Because the code is ABABABAB. He put in ABABABAC. I think he was also trying to do the blood code for Mortal Kombat from the Sega Genesis.
He got confused.
Yeah.
Hey, forget.
We get a decent women's title match. Beth Phoenix defeats Mickie James.
She is, yeah, and I'm telling you, Mickie James is going to just snap on Candice Michelle. And I hope, I mean, for real. I mean, the fact that Candice Michelle just comes in and takes her plastic boobs and basically brings it all over the place when Mickie James is busting her ass for months, not good.
And they announced that they she will face the winner. She will face Beth Phoenix at Cyber Sunday.
Cyber Sunday? Or is it
No Mercy?
No Mercy.
It's No Mercy instead of Cyber Sunday?
Well,
No Mercy's
Mercy
next.
And Cyber Sunday.
Mickey's going to snap at Candice. Candice is going to snap a femur. So it's going to be an all right feud.
Ah, there you go.
Ooh,
all right.
I can't see that.
Back to the DL.
Actually, time to go back to just doing those GoDaddy commercials. I think she might be released after her next injury.
Good.
Then we get a backstage segment with Jamie Noble, Eva L., and Jillian Hall singing Layla by Eric Crafton. Okay, enough. Now we move on.
No, that was funny.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
You're going to the Olive Garden.
Yeah,
we got reservations.
Those breadsticks are just incredible.
Yeah.
Oh.
They're not just.
Ooh, that man.
They're not just the best.
No. Hold on a sec. No.
I'm doing it.
No. No. No win. Ooh, that.
That is not
no,
a win.
That's a win.
No, it's not, Robert. And you know it's not a win. That is making fun of a wrestler's job. Just because the WWE or TNA or Ring of Honor does not recognize his potential is not his fault.
I thought JR was the only one defending him.
Seriously. I mean,
No. I know where you're coming from, and Shane Douglas would agree with you.
Yeah.
No. Shane Douglas deserves to be working in the dishwashing department of the Olive Garden, but that's beside the point.
But he's managing a Target. Give him, cut him some slack.
Hold it.
Yes.
Let's get back to the show.
Oh.
Because this next part's funny. After William Regal just destroys Jamie Noble, JBL comes out.
Hold on. You forgot the fact that Regal stole Layla, which was kind of.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Regal stole Layla.
Didn't want to go.
Sort of. You don't know.
She didn't want to go, but he's a
freaking
strong
British.
Chicks
didn't
own
this singlet.
Ew.
Okay. Then. We have JBL coming out for a match, and I'll just let the clip speak for itself.
Hey, let me out. I can't breathe. Let me out of here. I'm in the trunk of the limo. Hey.
Win! Epic win! There's the win!
I'm keeping my dog!
Okay, that's enough.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a win. There's a win. Win. Let's make it a win. That was, and you know how awesome that was, because the crowd was into it. Number one, they were chanting CHL.
Yeah.
And on WWE Fan Nation, as of today, Charlie Haas has a poll of which superstar he should imitate next.
Okay. I gotta say this. They're gonna be in Memphis next week.
He's gotta do Lawler.
Yeah, they gotta do Lawler.
Now,
they
want to
have Lawler, or they got to set up a match where Santino Marella is wrestling. Guess who's
right.
Music hits?
You're right.
But
in
Honky Tonk Hoss.
Yes.
Now, I got to say this. Since I was there, DHL was so bloody over, we weren't calling for him in the main event. There was a CHL chant in the main event.
That
Charlie, congratulations.
You found your niche. You can't do it on your own, but you know what? You're fucking talented as hell. That was just brilliant, funny stuff. And, you know, JBL walked out.
Because
he was embarrassed to even...
No, because he didn't want to crack up in front of the crowd, because he couldn't keep a straight face either.
Everything about that was awesome. The promo Haas did, the promo JBL did, that was just awesome.
Yeah, you know what? There is comedy that forces itself to be funny, and there is just comedy that's naturally funny. And this
that's
was it.
Naturally funny. MamaJawamaExtreme.com.
Yeah, exactly. Because you know JBL would let, you know, probably worked on it with him or something to that effect.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yes.
And you got to have a strong ego, and boy, does JBL have it, to say, you know what, make fun of me, I'm a total ass, and go for it. And he did it, and it was great. It was absolutely fucking funny.
There's also, to go off topic just a wee bit, on our favorite forums, the WrestleCraft forums, there's a thread. Actually, there are two threads, one about Charlie Haas imitating a former JBL fad, which we won't get into, and the second one, which I thought was the most funny, have CHL sell something.
I don't know what he could sell.
Some things were selling Mama Juana to Darth Vader, selling a basketball to Batista. Because as we know, they don't hold grudges.
Why do basketballs not? Okay, I don't get it.
It was from a promo.
Great Kali promo. Kali was doing the vice grip on a basketball, and Batista blared out, "That's basketballs don't hold grudges."
Okay, dumb line, but all right, fine.
And then. Batista was laughing at the Charlie Haas information. Oh, man. MamaJawamaExtreme.com. That was funny.
And JBL again endeavored not to laugh.
Yeah, trying so hard. We get a promo of Rey Mysterio,
And you also noticed that Batista was hanging with his latest conquest, I mean, person, Kelly Kelly.
There's codes for that, too. 696969.
Oh.
D.
That's a game. He finally upgraded from Game Genie to Game Shark for that one.
See, the thing is, I don't know if he was, you know, with Kelly Kelly or changing her diaper. There's such of an age difference, you know? I mean, seriously. That's called robbing the cradle, kids.
She's legal.
Not by much, though.
No, she
never
stopped.
It doesn't stop too many.
She's 20, so it's legal. All
right.
Rey Mysterio promo that's overshadowed by the fact of the next match, which is Mysterio and Evan Bourne and the In Crowd.
Which was, yes, John Morrison and...
Thomas.
Match of the week. Also a match of the year candidate, if you ask me.
Yes.
This was nothing short of spectacular. It was just so unbelievably good.
Rey Mysterio, I would make a comparison that Rey Mysterio and Evermore brought some of the best Cruiserweight West wrestling that we've seen in years.
And some amazing tag team combos.
Yeah.
It was just like they said, okay, you've got 10 minutes, go for it. And boy, and if Evan Bourne's star isn't rising now, that match pretty much sealed it. And the next night on ECW, even though he lost to John Morrison, his stock is still rising because that Bourne Morrison match was just as good as the tag match, if you ask me.
Exactly. Kane has a promo. He will be taking on Ray Ray next week.
And he's got a little friend with him.
Yeah. Yeah. He held up his mask.
Yeah.
And then we get
the
nickname and
Foster.
Yeah. Poor Festus.
That was
no, that is the face of a man with a clean slate.
Mm-hmm. With hardly anything on it.
Yeah.
Then we get to Nikki Hayman's favorite wrestler, Randy Orton.
You on.
I got a
voices in his head.
Yeah. Then, then 15 minutes of boredom goes on. Then we have then we have Team Priceless beat up Kingston in Crime Time.
Boo.
Boo, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which reminds me, Nikki.
Yes?
You have to watch Ward Up and The Dirt Sheet. Like, have to.
That's right. There were supposedly some cross impersonations going on.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It is so funny. I loved it. You have to watch it.
I will do so after the show.
And, of course,
we'll breeze through the next few. Santino Marella defeats Snitsky. Santino Marella compared his reign, championship title reign, to the Mountie.
19 times better.
That is true.
And also, if you notice, he said, take that to Le Perez Hilton and put it in your pipe and smoke it. There's a little feud going on. Now, I have one thing to say about this, because I do read Perez Hilton. Don't look down upon me on that. But,
I read them religiously. It's okay.
Okay. I think, do not be surprised if Perez Hilton makes an appearance. I would bet it's already set up or has been in the works.
And VH1 will cover it.
No, let me ask you, do you agree, Nikki, or not? The fact that there's been a little bit of an online war between Perez Hilton and Santino Marella. Do you believe that it has already been set up, or do you believe that it's just legit real?
I'm going to say it's legit because I don't think WWE is that hip.
Okay.
Too legit to quit, actually.
All right.
Yeah, I'm all right. Some pointless backstage segments. Then we get to the main event. Chris Jericho, Batista ends in a no contest. Mike Gamley walks out, ordered the referee to stop because Chris Jericho is hurt. And he brings out JBL. And the crowd chants...
DHL! DHL! DHL!
Thank you.
We so wanted DHL.
And... Chris Jericho gets the cheap pin and wins.
Not a surprise, and that's okay.
No.
I thought the match was stopped.
Okay. I know quite a few people here are gamers. So So we had the TNA Impact video game out this week.
I
did not play it.
I played it.
I have not.
You're not missing that much.
I didn't think. I haven't heard anything good yet.
Trugdor! It needs to be burninated.
Although, admittedly, the best line I heard this week about the game was when somebody caught the commercial with AJ Styles and Kurt Angle.
Yes, which was a great commercial, by the way.
They said that it was AJ Styles versus Kurt Angle and the loser leaves the GameStop match.
Yes.
Actually, thinking about it, I think a lot of people want to leave GameStop. Let's be honest. Graphics, okay. You know, they're good for the system, but they could have been better.
So again, now, again, what system did you play this on for your...
I played on Xbox 360.
Okay. Now, did you like anything about the game?
The graphics were okay, and I heard that if you pre-ordered it, you got a free DVD, which featured, I believe, TNA's first show. Not the first Impact, but the first... I think it's the first Impact or the first show.
Okay.
I'm not sure which one. If I remember correctly, one of the matches featured the Flying Elvises.
Awesome.
And then a match with Scott Hall in it, so I am thinking this could be the first show, or this could
be
the
like
first
it.
Impact.
It might have been the first Impact.
Yeah, probably the first Impact. As a bonus on the DVD, I didn't like this game too much. It reminded me quite a bit of Warzone for the N64 of how craptacular the controls are. But then again, it's the same team who makes it. It was Acclaim, who made such great titles as Knight Rider.
I thought Acclaim went under.
It's now Midway.
No, I think Midway is its own entity.
Midway Acclaim. I think Midway bought out Acclaim.
But it is Midway Games who made it. Okay.
Yeah.
It wasn't the right development team. They've got a couple of really good teams. Or am I thinking Namco?
Namco.
And also, I've been reading that they're already working on, you know, Impact 2009 or whatever it is, or whatever the version is.
Like 5 years into the making for this game, and they're going to expect to play another one out by next year.
Well, the basic mechanics are all in place. That just tells you they're not going to change anything controller-wise. All they got to do is add characters.
We'll get TNA attitude.
They put so much hype in this game. People have been waiting for it for so long. And it's like, well, don't worry, because we're putting another one out next year. And it's like, oh.
The only great part about this game was watching the computer for the fifth time accidentally run into the steel steps.
Oh, that's bad.
It is bad. I'd rather not talk about this game anymore because we got some more stuff to talk about. We got pick-ems to do. All in all, avoid the game at all costs. Or if you feel like you're a glutton for punishment, rent it. Because time to go to TNAWrestling.com. And it is now time for Forf's favorite moment of the show. Pick'ems!
I believe there are 8 matches, if I'm not mistaken, on this card.
I think so, 8 matches. And let me do a count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Wow, okay.
Okay, so here's going to be the deal. No additional points. This is just going to be straight up. Trista, you want in on this?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Guessing.
All right, here we go. Let's start off with the Falls Count Anywhere match. Going bottom straight to the top. ODB versus Awesome Kong with Raisha Saeed. Who wins? And we start with VRM.
This is going to be Kong's return to complete domination of the division. I don't care if ODB finally got one over on Raisha Saeed. It's Kong. It's basically a no DQ match. Cobb.
Jason.
I have to agree. I love ODB, but Kong's going to win this one.
Nikki, Typhus next.
Awesome Kong gets the win easily.
Fourth?
Kong.
Nikki?
Definitely Kong.
Trista?
Kong with a huge beatdown by ODB after finally got the ass kicked.
And Kong. Okay. We got a challenge match. We got a filler match, actually. It's the Prince Justice Brotherhood, a Cray Man, Shark Boy, and Super Eric versus the Rock and Rave Infection.
So it's 3-on-2?
And also someone else.
No,
it's a match.
It's Lance Rock, Jimmy Rave, and Christy Hemme.
Oh, so, okay.
On Spike, so the male-on-female violence rule does not apply.
Let's start with VRM.
Is the Who the Fuck Cares option available for this match?
Say that again.
Is the Who the Fuck Cares option available?
Judge? Yes.
I'll take Who the Fuck Cares for 200. I should say one half.
Okay. You got the half point. Jason?
I'm not going to take the guaranteed half point. I'm going with the Prince Justice Brotherhood. There are
typo?
As much as I love my boy from the D, Lance Hoyt, he's basically a jobber now, and Super Eric and his cronies win.
Fourth?
I'm going with the heroes.
Nikki?
Justice League TNA.
More like the Wonder Twins to me. Trista. No.
Trista?
I'm still here.
Trista, are you there?
Oh, yeah. Are you picking me?
Yes.
Yes.
The superhero guys.
I'm actually going to go against the grain here.
You're going to pick the Rock and Rave faction.
I'm taking Rock and Rave.
We love you, Miami.
We love you,
no.
Montreal.
There you go.
Yeah.
Ladder of Love match. Black Machismo versus the Guru, Sanjay. That winner gets Val.
Val.
Yeah.
Val.
This storyline only advances once every 15 days.
Yeah.
Seems like years.
Yeah. So, VRM, you want the option's still there.
Honestly, I cannot pick a winner in this. I'll take the option.
Jason.
I wish I could take the option, but I am going to go with Sanjay Dutt winning. And then at the end, SoCal Val kicks Sanjay Dutt in the Gurus and goes with Jay Lethal.
Seems like a very good decision. Typho.
I'm going to go with Sanjay Dutt, which is going to lead to Lethal turning heel and becoming the Machismo King, Jay Lethal.
And we go to four.
I'm going with Dutt winning.
Nikki?
Dutt wins the match. Machismo still wins the girl.
And Trista?
I hope Machismo wins because I just watched a Randy Savage and Liz video, like, the other day, and it reminded me of when I was, like, 4, and I like feeling like that, so, yeah.
Wait a minute, you were 4 at WrestleMania 5? Wow.
Well,
okay.
It was just like a tribute video thing, and like I remember a lot of like I remember the outfit she wore like in the video, like that black and white striped thing, and like that real baggy sequined sweater with the stars on it. Like I remember that from when I was like 4 or 5 years old. So I was like, yeah, that's awesome.
Okay.
Yeah, I got Black Machismo winning this as well to end finally in the feud. Women's title match, Taylor Wilde versus Angelina Love, the hometown girl.
Hometown girl.
They're both hometown.
Oh.
They are both Canadian, don't you know?
Both from Toronto.
Oh, Canada. PRM. Live land.
As much as I hate their gimmick and as much as I hate Kip James, I know Kip is going to get involved, as will Velvet, and there's going to be a Toronto screw job. Or I should say an Oshawa screw job. Angelina.
There you go. Jason.
Not only do I love the gimmick, not Kip James, but I do love the Beautiful People gimmick, I think Taylor Wilde has been a bust as women's knockout champion. Angelina Love takes it.
Typho.
I agree with pretty much everything there. Angelina Love wins. Taylor Wilde is not over at all.
And we go to fourth.
I see Creepy Kip and Velvet getting involved, and Angelina wins.
Nikki.
Looks like Angelina's going to be taking this away from Taylor, because I really haven't heard a whole lot about Taylor Wilde's knockout reign. I also anticipate a little interference for Taylor in the form of maybe Roxy Laveau.
And Trista?
I don't know. Like, they're both my hometown girls, so I want to go for both of them. But I guess I'll go.
You're
going to
take the half point?
Take the who cares vote.
Okay, I'll do that. I'm guaranteed half a point. It's probably going to be more than I win the
game. All right. She can't decide. I can decide. Angelina Love's winning this match. Taylor Wilde is coming in with the momentum because she won the beauty contest. Which?
Those drumming things that she did? Not that. They were in my practice. But I was a drummer.
Tag team match.
Yeah.
Sorry, Trish, for interrupting,
but that's okay.
Running short on time.
I tried, Trista.
Okay, Nikki. You can still be my friend.
Where were we?
I fucked up.
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Never mind.
What's the next match?
Abyss and Matt Morgan versus Team 3D. In two words or less. VRM.
Mile high.
Huh?
Abyss and Matt Morgan. Jason.
Team 3D is going to celebrate their new contract with a victory in this match.
That's more than two words.
Oh, sorry. I didn't hear the more than two words. I'm sorry.
And we go to Typho.
Blueprint.
Fourth.
Orlando's Batista.
He strolls by himself.
Yeah. Nikki.
Oh.
You're down to one word now.
I didn't know it was my turn. I didn't hear you.
I said Nikki.
I also heard a whole bunch of other garbage in the background.
I heard that.
So you want two words? I'll give you two words. Who cares?
Okay.
Thank you.
Trista.
Who's Matt Morgan's partner?
Abyss.
Abyss? Oh, God. Team 3D.
All right. Hardcore blueprints.
Two words.
MMA match. Styles versus Trigg. The match we've been waiting for. The match that reeks a filler. VRM.
Works for Styles.
Jason.
Trigg. Man.
You no longer can say more than two words.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
I mean, two words more. Yeah, screw it. Typo.
Frank Trigg wins.
Fourth.
I see Styles over the Doctor of Trigonomics.
Jim's got some heat. Nikki.
Yeah. Hang on. It may be Trigg's match, but that's why he's got to lose. AJ.
Trista.
AJ, because I don't know what kind of match this is. I've never heard of this Trigg guy before.
All right. And so you're taking Styles.
Yeah, as I said.
And I'm taking Trigg. Then we have the X Division match, triple threat match. Petey Williams, actually, this one you have to go by country. We have Canada, Petey Williams, America, Consequences Creed, or Iran, Sheikh Abdul Bashir. VRM.
This is going to be an interesting one. It's split across. I'm going Iran / Detroit.
Which means Abdul Bashir. We go to Jason.
You cannot make Petey Williams lose in Canada. Canada.
Typho.
As much as I don't want to see it happen, I say they put the belt on Consequences Creed.
Hell no.
Fourth.
Sheikh Daivari's going to win this one.
Nikki.
It looks like I think it's going to land on Abdul Bashir, much as I love Petey, and Creed is just not over.
Trista?
Canada, man. Oh, no.
I'm going Soviet Kanakistan. Tag Team Championship match, Beer Money versus LAX. And time is of the essence, so just give me the name of the team, VRM.
Beer Money.
Jason.
Beer Money.
Typho.
Beer Money.
Fourth.
Beer Money.
Nikki.
Beer Money.
Trista.
LAX.
LAX is right. Main event match. Joe T. Angle Cage. VRM.
Cage.
Jason.
Joe.
Typho.
Benjamin. Angle.
Oh. Stuck with it for 30 days, dude. Don't even try to get out of it.
Oh.
Typho?
I said Angle.
Fourth.
Joe.
Nikki.
Cage.
Trista.
Canada.
That's Cage.
Cage. Joe. Joe's going to hold it until Bound for Glory. And those are your pick-ems. And just want to do a brief programming note that next week is our special Have I Got News for You special. So, and we will have as guests DJ Peapod from Capture Suplex Radio and WrestleCraft.com's Artie Reynolds will be appearing. Hopefully. And just to let people know, if they don't appear, we have tumblers ready at the willing. That ends up for tonight. So for VRM, Jason Block, Typho, Forf, Nikki Heyman, Trista Timpson, I am Robert Sidelman saying good night.
Good night.
Hey, everyone.
Now we are in the archives. And let's talk about Vince McMahon's latest beef.
Aha.
This beef?
Boom.
Flair.
What's up, Trista?
What?
Well.
What?
I thought you had something to say, Trista. I'm sorry.
I always have something to say. I'm used to being silent.
Mr. Seidelman.
Where were we? Oh, yeah. Ric Flair is getting slaughtered in the press. Oh, we have pics from DJ as well. So DJ is going to be in on this.
Well, if you saw the pictures of Ric Flair, man, did he get beat up. Not a good look.
And he did the blade job, too.
Yeah.
No, that was hard way.
Right. Just so I have clarification, I'm saying DJ's picks on the archive so I have it. He picked Awesome Kong, Prince Justice Brotherhood, Black Machismo, Taylor Wilde, Bismack Morgan, AJ Styles, Sheik Abdul-Bashir, Beer Money, and Kurt Angle winning. Just to say it again, Awesome Kong, Prince Justice Brotherhood, Black Machismo, Taylor Wilde, Abyss Matt Morgan, AJ Styles, Iran, Beer Money, and Kurt Angle. Now I got that straightened out. Let's talk about Vince McMahon's latest beef with Ric Flair. Vince McMahon, let's just say he wanted Ric Flair to help promote some stuff with the company, like 24/7. He also wanted to help promote the DVD that they created of him. And also various other projects that they have lined up for him. Now, since he left, he decided, instead of doing all that, to get $100,000 from High Spots to do a 7-day shoot interview.
Actually, it was a 3-day shoot interview.
I had 7, I believe.
Trust me, I've been reading this from PWInsider.com.
Three days.
They just shot the first day. They're doing it over three different days. And I didn't know the amount was $100,000, but I wouldn't be surprised, you know, that particular amount of money. But, you know, Vince was basically saying that he felt that Vince should have done it for the WWE or something to that effect, you know? And, you know what? I don't blame Rick for this. I really don't. Rick is what, almost 60?
Yeah.
You know, there's only going to be one shot at this, I think. You know, let him make his money while he can. I don't think he was going to make any money under Vince, and he was just going to be, limited in what he could do, I think.
But he needs the money now for his divorce lawyer, so he should probably make money when he can. For sure. How much he doesn't have or how much he does have. I don't know about that whole tax thing going on, but dude needs money and he needs it now. Probably what he was thinking.
It's his money and he needs it now.
Exactly.
He needs bail money for his daughter.
Yeah, well, there's a girl that needs to, like, really grow up really, really fast. You know?
Yeah.
Not a good idea. So, Nikki, what do you think?
Well, Vince has got to realize that Rick is no longer under contract with WWE, and he's free to pursue whatever endeavors he wishes. Vince should have nailed Rick down to do this before that blow-up. Of course, I know he wasn't anticipating it, but He knew that he was going to be promoting a DVD. He knew that he was going to feature Flair on 24/7. There had to have been some time between the WrestleMania 24 and when he left to get this done.
Yeah. Also,
you know what I read, though? Part of the reason why they want to bring in Gail Kim is because she's apparently dating Bret Hart. And so they think if they can have her under contract, then maybe Bret will do more things for WWE.
Nope.
No.
If.
Yeah, no.
I thought it was so that WWE could say we're the only place where Bret Hart gets screwed.
No, that gets worse.
Almost appropriate.
First of all, you know, there are only two people that I think that would never come back to the WWE no matter how much money there's thrown at them. One is Bruno Sammartino, the other is Bret Hart.
No, Bret Hart did come back for a little bit. Bret Hart did make a few comments. He got inducted all off him, so I think that...
He came back for a video project, and he came back to be inducted into the Hall of Fame, which he was not paid for. Okay?
And he
shot that video the night Vince blew up.
Yeah.
Also, let's not forget about the Bret Hart DVD set. They buried the hatchet. I believe that it'll take a lot of work, it'll take a lot of trust, but I think it can happen. Actually, it has a better chance of happening than Randy Savage getting back into the WWE fold.
I will give you this much. I don't think we will see Hulk Hogan in a WWE ring ever again.
Don't be too sure.
We just saw him in December.
That was before all the divorce stuff came out. Actually, the divorce stuff came out in May, which was perfect timing for American Gladiators.
But you also for talking also you're also talking about the fact that his son nearly killed him.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Nick's in jail, enjoying.
Special comforts, we hope.
What Nick Hogan did to that kid, I would like to think that he's getting his just desserts.
WWE has enough bad press about hiring people that kill people. No, that's not supposed to be a joke or anything. Like, that's a legit point. Like, look what happened.
Yeah, it is a legit pro, but I have to groan. Because I found out something. And I'm going to tell this pretty quick, because we'll probably be discussing it in about 2 weeks. Normally, when they discuss Benoit on Nitro, when the announcers do, actually there's a little nice example of a soundbite 2 weeks ago when it was the Nitro before War Games. Michi Nokuden introduced the Four Horsemen, which at the time was Henning, McMichael, Benoit, and Flair. He announced it as, and I'm quoting, Kurt Henning, Steve Mongo McMichael, Nature Boy Ric Flair. That's how it sounded.
Hey,
going
to
the Nitro that's on right now, they have Piper actually mentioning Chris Benoit by name about him having a concussion and all that stuff. So I think he mentioned it twice or three times. That same interview is on YouTube, and I went and checked to see if I'm not being deceived, and they've actually started to mention him again on Nitro, but they're not going to hype him. Now, with that out of the way, I have a feeling that in 3 weeks we will see his footage back. Am I excited about this and working out for it? Not really, mainly because... You know, it's nice to see it back, but in the end, it's just going to be there because I probably won't be seeing it much anymore. I really need to get some stuff done, like my work. With that said, let's move on.
Well, no. Don't move on this. This is a very important topic, actually, because Do you think that this is going to be a trend, actually bringing back Benoit into wrestling history, or is it too soon? It's only been a year.
If they're doing it like what they have been doing with the Royal Rumble and SummerSlam box sets, just by not mentioning him in any way, shape, or form, in the packaging, there's not going to be any photos of Benoit. There's not going to be any actually in his match. There's actually, I think Nikki can quote me on this. Nikki, don't you have the SummerSlam set?
I do not. In fact, I was even reluctant to buy the Royal Rumble set because I expected the 2004 disc to not even be included.
Or the 2005 Rumble not be included because he lasted for quite a while in that Rumble as well. But what happened, it says, for the SummerSlam 2004 WWE Championship match featuring Randy Orton. That's all it says.
Randy Orton
is a wrestler. Randy Orton fights for the World Heavyweight Championship, actually, but...
That irritates me, but whatever makes them happy.
I know it's irritating, but at least they don't cut the footage.
I don't know for...
Sorry, go ahead.
I almost would forgive them for cutting out the title match from SummerSlam 04 because it was bullshit. Not because of Benoit, but because the match itself was utter bullshit. There is no... Randy Orton had no business beating Chris Benoit clean at the second biggest pay-per-view of 2004.
In Toronto. Not forget this. We did the win.
No less.
Everyone had a good time, except The Undertaker, apparently.
I happen to agree with you on that. I mean, as I said, I was in the Garden for WrestleMania 20. And it just still blows my mind that the two people who hugged each other at the end of the ring are both, at the end of the show, are both dead.
I'd like to quote the Dark Knight about that. You either die hero, Guerrero, or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain, Benoit.
I'll give you that.
I agree with that sentiment.
But I really think that since the media shitstorm has died down, we need to go back to status quo. We really do.
Yeah.
You cannot erase him completely from history. I'm sorry.
I think the WWE is doing the right thing with all this, though, because it's not like... It's like, you know, okay, one day he's going to be gone, but then they're going to be like, well, we're going to decide that on January 17th, 2011, it's going to be okay to show every Benoit footage again. Like, if you look at it, they've done it, like, quite gradually, but still being able to, like, skip across and not really mention him. Like, they went from, you know, not even saying his name, but now they're at least showing footage with him in it, even though he won't be the main part. Like, I think that's the beginning of it, because there are still some people out there that want to see Benoit matches, and then there's still some people, like myself, that haven't been able to watch a Benoit match since. So I think with what they're doing is good, because people can still get their Benoit fix, but then other people won't be able to get the full fix, which I think, like, I think it's a good idea to just gradually bring him back, but not too dramatically.
Well, I agree that there's a time that we've got to bring, you know, we can bring him back, and we shouldn't bring him back immediately. But I'm offended when I hear the footage has been destroyed. I'm offended when they can't even say his name. He was a man, and he did quite a lot for this business. And I know that there are people that still grieve like you do, Trista.
I'm sorry,
Sorry?
No, I didn't hear any of that. I just heard my name.
Okay, I just think it's a horrible thing to do. We didn't erase O.J. Simpson from the NFL book for all the horrible crap he did, even if he was declared innocent.
That's true.
It's just, I don't approve of it. You know, Vince has enough power over everything else in his company. He's playing God here. It really offends me.
Right.
Not just that, too, though, right? Because here's this guy who's, like, it's probably a billionaire now, eh, Vince McMahon? And he has all this footage of Benoit, and he's probably going, what the fuck am I supposed to do with all this? Like, he's got some Japan footage, he's got the WCW footage, he's got the WWE footage, and, like, I can see him, like,
he doesn't have all the Japan footage, right? The Japan people own, I think it was New Japan, so I think Inoki still owns that.
They just lent it to him for the DVD that they put out with him?
He owns all the Japan footage, not...
I think at the end they said we thank New Japan Pro Wrestling for the footage or something like that.
Yeah, they had that working agreement about the footage.
Oh, okay. Well, then, well, they still have all this WCW and all this WWE stuff. And, you know, it's probably, like, hundreds and thousands of matches there. And he's probably thinking, like, what the fuck am I supposed to do with all of this? Like, so much of it. And ultimately, you know, he makes a final decision. We all have to respect that because we all watch his program. And whether we like it or not, you know, we're still the ones watching it every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday night and once every other Sunday. Like, we obviously enjoy it. Like, I think we have to respect his decision either way, even if we don't agree with it.
Right.
Well. Again, here is the big question for wrestling fans about Benoit. The question is, can you, at this point in time, October 2008 approximately, or actually mid-September 2008, can you, at this point in time, separate Benoit the wrestler from Benoit the man?
Yes.
I'm having a hard time with it still.
I can.
I'm probably one of the two people here that probably cannot really separate either of them.
I'm actually with you on that one. I can't. I cannot.
It's really hard to do. Especially since, if you take a look back, he's been really, well, before when he was dead, he was actually really, you really couldn't tell the difference. You thought the rabid Wolverine, you know, was the same person.
Yeah.
Now, and who was kind of a killer, pardon the pun, but a killer in the ring. You find out he was a killer in real life, and then the line does get blurred. Although I would like to think I could separate them, sometimes the line still gets blurred. But
and believe me, Nikki, I understand where you're coming from as well. You know. No, go ahead.
I was gonna say what might help me is the fact that I had the honor of actually meeting him back in 2006. And he was a very quiet, very reserved gentleman. And he was being very generous to all of us, and we kind of choked him up a little bit because as soon as he hit the podium, we erupted in a huge Eddie chant. But he was very gracious to me. I shook his leathery paw. He did not have a hand. It was a paw. And he not only signed my unscripted book where he spoke of the Hart House as Wrestling Vatican, but he signed two photographs I had taken of him at other shows, including a Raw House show not 2 weeks after he'd won the title, where he was proudly unstrapping it to hold it up to the crowd.
Subject. Yeah, it's heavy, but you know what? It still affects to this day. I mean, without the Benoit incident, you wouldn't have the wellness policy. And without the wellness policy, you wouldn't have MVP being, you know, diagnosed with his heart condition. You wouldn't
have MVP,
Jeff. I'm sorry?
We might not have MVP, period. Like, that could have
killed him.
That's true. Okay. You would not have had the Jeff Hardy suspension twice over. William Regal, things of that nature.
You wouldn't have the paid rehab for former employees.
I think that's the best result to come out of all of this, to be honest with you.
They probably saved Sean Waltman's life.
Saved.
That was before.
Actually, didn't. Yeah, it saved Sean Waltman's life. I think it might, if Scott Hall takes advantage of this, he might take it. Jake Roberts will probably take it.
I thought he did.
Yeah, you're right, he did.
You know, and if you also notice that the wrestling style has changed, there are not as many unprotected chair shots in the WWE. And you also have to thank for that Christopher Nowinski, who did the study after Benoit died for the Concussion Institute or whatever institute he's working with.
I forgot the name of it, but I know what you're talking. I know the company.
You know,
the Sports Legacy Institute, something like that.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so Benoit's unfortunate actions, for lack of a better term, you know, for what he did, is going to have a lasting effect, because you know as well as I do that Vince is going to make sure that his people are not on drugs ever again, okay? Because you also know as well as I do, you remember when Chris Masters went off the juice and he was like 30 pounds lighter within a week?
With a nice beard and mustache and goatee.
Right, exactly. But
evil
you, yeah, and I'm just saying to you, you notice that a lot of wrestlers have become smaller. Look at Batista now; he's about 30 pounds lighter.
I'm still convinced he juices. I just am.
Well, given that he's almost 80 pounds lighter from his Leviathan days.
Oh yeah.
That tells me that he. Go ahead.
I heard if you mention that to him, he'll get a little giggle and kind of admit to that. But if you mention, I think you told me this. If you mention Deacon Batista.
Yes. Do not bring up the Deacon. I said I told him I wouldn't say anything about the Deacon, and he thanked me.
Okay.
And then I gave him a picture of Ric Flair's old man ass. And I don't think he's forgiven me for that yet either.
No, but I mean, if you looked at when, for example, Triple H came back in 2002, he was jacked. He was absolutely jacked. Okay. Now,
he was amazing. Oh, sorry.
Okay. Have you got the vapors there, Nikki?
Sorry, I have the gym poster, and I was such a mark about it. I hung it up in my living room because I enjoyed the view so much. But you're right. He thought it was 1998 weight.
Okay.
Yes, yeah, so I can hear Seidelman giggling about this.
No, Trist is giggling her butt off right now.
I'm just reading a John Cena story, which I'm going to tell after this.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
And, Trista, I think you understand, right? I'm allowed to look.
I know, man. It's a whole part of the male body. It's a beautiful thing to look at.
Good for you.
She's right. Oh, moving on.
In your living room. I try to keep my stuff like that private in the drawer I have.
Well, not I did in my previous apartment, not here, but I'm not going to put anything up on my walls until I move again, and that's going to go up along with the RVD Puffy songs, the Lex Luger. Well, no, never mind. Where were we, Mr. Seidelman?
Santa News.
He's injured, so.
Yay.
Okay.
This is from PW Insider, Jason. I think you read this.
Uh-huh.
There is rather serious talks and discussion with WWE as what to do if John Cena returns from injury this year. It's not much that of a spoken thing, but essentially that Cena isn't connecting with the entire WWE audience like officials have wanted him to. They wanted him to connect on a level like Steve Austin or The Rock, where everyone was into his character. Okay.
Good luck.
That failed.
Yeah.
They had it, but they lost it. Look at WrestleMania 20.
Yeah,
look at WrestleMania 21.
He had the whole audience. They blew it.
Yeah, look up until the Angle Cena feud. That was where they lost.
No, I think they lost it with Cena Trips.
No, it was before that.
Yeah,
it was
Summer of 05.
It was Evan.
I think it was with Jericho.
Like angle, but then I think when it came to Triple H, then it was just like, whoa.
I'll even go back a little further. It was when they did not pull the trigger on Cena Christian.
That's
there
right.
There you go.
Okay.
Bingo.
That was when, because if you remember when Cena was drafted to Raw, everybody wanted to see Cena Christian, okay? And they wanted to see Christian kick his ass, okay? Because Christian was over. And they didn't do it because Vince saw, you know, John Cena as the money guy, which he is. You know, he's the Hulk Hogan without, you know, the Hulk Hogan with talent. That's who he is. I'm sorry. He's a crossover star with a heck of a lot of personality, but some wrestling talent. Okay? Some.
Mm-hmm.
Hogan doesn't have any, but I'm just saying. You know what I mean. I really want to see Cena heel, but they won't do it because he's just that much of a moneymaker.
Reading on.
Sorry.
There is talk of altering Cena's character when he returns in some form or fashion. One of the ideas is him turning heel, but one of the best things is big loss of merchandise sales, which Cena brings a lot of because of the demo he appeals to the most, young kids. As much as WWE has tried to make Cena the face of the company, they realize he's not connecting like they want to, and the belief is we could see a different side of Cena when he returns, although maybe not full-fledged heel. Correct me if I'm wrong, but you can't go tweener with Cena. It doesn't connect.
You will get a shift in the audience, I think.
Yeah.
You're still not going to, you can't get everybody. You really, not with Cena, you're not going to be able to get everybody. You make him edgier and you make him tweener, you're going to lose the kids.
If,
but then with that, then they'll start gating, like, I'm not going to single them out on their own, but if you turn Cena heel, you're going to lose the kids, but then you're going to have the, ooh, I think it's cool to cheer a bad guy. And then that's all going to catch on again, and then we're just going to go full circle, and he'll be heel, and then it's going to be, oh, he's a good guy, I'm going to start doing him again, and then it's just going to go on from there. Because there are people that are going to do that.
Yeah, but the whole issue, though, is if he goes heel or even tweener, he loses the kids, and the kids stop bugging their parents to buy John Cena merchandise, and that, and there lies the problem.
Because that stuff's still flying off the shelves.
Oh, yeah.
Although the 8-bit shirt, I'm sorry, is cool.
Really?
The 8-bit shirt is cool. I wouldn't wear it. But the idea is that I would love Cena to be full-fledged heel. Because I'm telling you, it's just that Cena just rubs a lot of people the wrong way. He is, you know, as Paul Heyman said in his Heyman Hustle, your uncle, Nikki.
Yes.
Uncle Paulie, he said that no wrestler today has more of a passion, dedication, or drive for this business than Cena, if you read that column.
Yes, I did.
Okay. Cena is, and I agree with that assessment. However, he just rubs people the wrong way. He just does. And if I were Vince, you know, I wouldn't turn him heel because he's more of a moneymaker, and he'd just say, you know, people be damned.
I think Jason's right. You have to keep him face. But you could afford to turn up the risk gain, one click. Have him wear the throat.
Go ahead.
Have him wear the throat I'm wearing the throwbacks again.
I think they had a perfect time.
Okay. Sorry about that.
He wasn't out there as much, and he was still selling, but he wasn't down our throats, and he wasn't in the main event all the time. Like, they should have kept him with prime time. And then that way I could see prime time more. And I know Mickey would like that, too.
Well, as one of the few people who's still a huge fan of Crime Time and very interested in CTC, I really wanted to see where that was going. I'm still very interested in that concept.
They might bring it back once he's, you know, healthy again.
I think I have a good idea for it. If I remember correctly, 4 to 6 weeks, 4 to 6 months, I believe, is the timeline.
Suppose, yeah. I mean, they said Cena could be back as soon as Survivor Series, which scares me.
I think that'd be best.
That would be bad.
You could bring him back for that one match, but if you do it delicately, here's what I like to think. The Gen X stable.
Mm-hmm.
Which would be consisting of, I got an idea, 4-on-4. You would have DiBiase, Rhodes, Alpha Jr., a.k.a. Manu, and, God, who would be a good fourth one?
You can't put Randy Orton in the match because he'd be going.
No,
over.
I'm not putting Orton.
If you got time to build him in there, put Deuce there.
Okay, we'll put Deuce in there.
Joe Hennig.
No.
Joe. Not yet.
No, not Joe. Not Hennig. He just got there. He just got to FCW.
They'll call him up soon anyway.
Deuce.
It's going to be Deuce. As Jimmy Snuka Jr.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Crime Time. Kofi Kingston.
Yes.
And Evan Bourne.
Who's the odd man out there? Sorry.
Hello, token white guy.
He's so nerdy looking, too. Like, Kofi and Chad and JTG, like, they all look, like, kind of hard, you know? Like, you wouldn't want to mess with them. And then Evan Bourne, he's just like, I need comic books. And it's like,
he needs a bow tie if he's gonna come out with. He's gotta come out with them.
Like, that's just the vibe I get from Evan Bourne. I've seen one of his matches. I saw it was the one Monday night. It was my first Evan Bourne match. I've seen Matt Sydal. That was my first Evan Bourne match.
Were you impressed?
I loved it. I watched it twice because here in Canada, a nice foreign country. Like, we air at 9:15 to 11:15, like, we have a 15-minute delay, and then it's on again from midnight to 2.
Yes.
And then, like, I stayed up and I watched it.
Awesome. Very cool.
I love watching him live, too.
But that wouldn't be bad. But seriously, guys, where do you think Cena is going to go?
He'll return to the Rumble. He will get the usual reaction.
Fuck.
I'm a top one and then the Yay Boos next.
Yeah. I don't think there's much you can do with Cena, you know. He's been so grilled into our minds for the past 6 years. Is that how long he's been here? 2002? Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Feels like forever, which is really sad.
Yeah. Although I would recommend getting the DVD. The My Life DVD, it's actually a really great put-together DVD set. As much as you don't like them, I would recommend getting the DVD. Actually, I'd recommend getting any big 2-disc or 3-disc WWE DVD set because they're really good.
I will agree with you because their production team on the videos is top-notch. It's fantastic. Really, really good stuff.
Hey, what's Mr. Perfect DVD supposed to be? Is that 2 or 3 discs? Mr. Perfect?
It's 2 discs. Yes. Especially since they have the West Texas Rednecks videos.
Yeah. Yay!
that's what Joe Henning can do. He can wait for on crime time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there
Reform
is
the redneck.
There is a rumor Edge DVD coming out, I believe, later this year.
Yes.
And that is something I will put it to you this way. If they do it right, that's something on my Christmas, my Hanukkah list, you know?
Edge?
Edge.
They're doing one for Edge, and there's one for, there's supposedly one for Kane.
Yeah,
I'm going to
reserve Kane set.
I'm going to reserve
Kane
judgment
set,
on that. I do want to see
that. Actually, there's some sad news regarding the Kane set. Guess what it replaced?
The
Starcade.
Yeah, the Starcade DVD set.
Yeah.
That's also being linked to Flair.
You know what's funny about the Kane DVD, though, is that, like, you first hear about it, you're like, oh, a DVD filled with Kane matches, and it doesn't sound that appealing, but then you realize how fucking ridiculous his career has been, and all the friggin', like, swerves and stupid storylines. Like, you have to get it just for the pure ridiculousness that he's had to go through.
That is...
If it has a couple, there's one thing from the Katie Vick angle that I want. They've got to put on the DVD.
The Triple H sketch?
Yes, Hurricane and the Proctology video. It's a minute too long, but it killed me.
Well, yeah, the funny thing is that I once saw Kane do a Hurricane Rana. I saw him do it live. It's insane.
It's scary, isn't it? Yeah, I've seen him doing stuff recently. I mean, he's doing low drop kicks. You don't expect somebody that big doing a low drop kick.
There was a match with Kane maybe about a couple of years ago where Kane and the Big Show did a full mat wrestling match.
I remember this. Oh, yeah.
I watched that. I'm like, excuse my language, but holy fuck, it was great. It was unbelievable.
Because we're all there scratching our heads going, what? Are they're mat wrestling.
And they're doing it well, too. Yes.
Yeah.
And the audience popped for it, too, which was great. Which was great. But, you know. But, yeah, the WWE, one of my all-time recent fave DVD sets is the Shawn Michaels Triumph and Heartbreak and Triumph DVD.
Mm-hmm.
Because
is that a good documentary?
The documentary is the first part of it. There are matches on it as well.
Okay.
The documentary on it is really, really, really good. I love the documentary part of it because they get the interviews with people who, you know, great stuff.
I was actually thinking of picking that up. Yeah.
I haven't picked up a WWE DVD since Paper.
I picked up the ladder match one, but I haven't picked one up since.
The ladder match DVD set is just unbelievably phenomenal. Not just because, just because you have all the like TLC matches on it with Edge and Christian, Dudley Boys, and the Hardy Boys, and then you know it's just like they're trying to top each other, and it's just nuts.
I also like, somewhere in the middle of it, all of a sudden Gregory Helms comes and says, hey, wait a minute, I had a pretty darn good ladder match, too. And they showed the three count versus whomever in that huge ladder match for the contract. Was it three count Young Dragons?
Yeah.
That was three count.
Yep.
So bad. I was such a fan of three count. I was like 13 then, so I was all about boy bands. Man, I fucking love three count. Evan Courageous.
Mm. I got to see them live once, and my friend who was with me at the show, she was all into boy bands, so she was really digging it. I was just cracking up to the whole thing because after watching dance teams in high school, watching these three dance was just painful. So painful. I love you to death, Gregory, but damn.
The green circles is just like the best part of it at all.
I was at the show the night that Young Dragon stole those circles.
I remember that. I was devastated. The young Mark heart just broke. Horrible, simply that night. But yeah, with the ladder match DVD, I was so happy they put the Terry Invitational on it.
Oh, yeah.
The pure reason why I even bought it.
That was the match that made the Hardy Boys and Edge and Christian.
Yep.
That match is a historical match if you want to look at it.
That was the match that brought ladder matches into the fold.
And it also basically sort of cemented the Attitude Era, if you want to really call it that. It wasn't one thing. Just to quickly go over SmackDown, Impact, and ECW for a moment, the big deal on SmackDown was this week was we had a number one contenders match, and Jeff Hardy is now the number one contender for the SmackDown belt.
Yeah, he's going to face Triple H at No Mercy. I hate to cut this short.
Are we almost 2 hours already?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Damn. All right, well, then I'll cut it short and say goodnight, then. I'm out of here.
Yeah, we're going to call it a night because I got to wake up early. I have to head to the airport.
Where you heading?
The airport to pick up a friend.
I worked out at the airport. It was so fun.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm going to hang out, guys. I'll talk to you guys next week.
All right, take care, everybody.
Later.
Because I'm out, too.
Yeah.
Good night, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Yep.
Night.